to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for December 10th, 2023, the second Sunday of Advent, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
I am sure that many of you have been going to lots of holiday concerts and events already this month, with more to come. Last night, Susan and I went to a really interesting Christmas concert. It was from the Chamber Music Society of Detroit, and it's one of my favorite groups, Apollos Fire, an early music group from Cleveland. They were doing a Christmas concert, so there was a half-price sale. I signed up and we went, but it was very unusual. The first half of the concert was a story about people in Ireland during the potato famine. Not what you think of as a Christmas concert, but the idea was that they did the whole first half of Irish Celtic Christmas music, which is fantastic. And then the second half was people who had to leave Ireland and come to America, and so they did Appalachian Christmas music from the second half. And they showed the connection between Celtic and Appalachian music. It was stunning and amazing. One of my takeaways, besides they did some of my absolute favorite carols, which you don't hear very often, was that these people dealing with the potato famine were in desperate straits. In the 1840s, Irish people, most of the produce that they had went to England, and they had to live on potatoes. And so when there was a potato blight, the people of Ireland had literally nothing to eat, were literally starving to death. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, died in the potato famine. But out of that terrible suffering, still, there was this immense joy that came through in these Christmas carols. And I thought, what does it take when the worst happens, when the cataclysm happens? What does it take to find a way to still sing and rejoice and praise God? I think that's really at the heart of our scriptures today. What do we do when the worst happens? Because honestly, the worst is going to happen, whether it's on a global scale, a national scale, or even a personal scale. We all deal with crises and cataclysms. We try to stave them off. We have this illusion that we're in control of our lives, that we can somehow, if we just live the right way. I can't tell you how many people I've had in my office over the years who are dealing with a crisis of faith. Father, I did everything right. I went to church. I was a good person. Why has this happened to me? I think it's a very natural question. It's one that we all, I think, in the depths of our heart ask at times, why has this terrible thing happened? It's a question that resounds throughout the scriptures. In our Bible study this week, we were talking about the prophet Isaiah. By the way, this is also one of my favorite passages, and it's connected to music. Can anyone else tell me, when you read these words from Isaiah, what piece of music jumps into your mind? Anybody? Handel's Messiah. Jennings, the librettist for Handel, was looking for scriptures that would tell something about the coming of Jesus, and he found a lot in Isaiah. Isaiah is the most quoted book in the New Testament of the Old Testament, right? Of all the quotes in the Gospels, Isaiah is number one by a long shot, because Isaiah gives us this wonderful message of the hope of God's salvation. But there's a fascinating thing if you read all of the prophet Isaiah. Chapters 1 through 39, not so much. Chapters 1 through 39 are the bad thing is coming. You have been unrighteous. God is not happy with you. Those foreign invaders, they're going to come. So 39 chapters of the bad news is coming. But then suddenly, chapter 40, verse 1, the whole thing changes. And the first words are, comfort, comfort ye my people, says your God. And all of 40 through 55 is good news, hope for those who have endured. And what happened between chapter 39 and chapter 40? The worst thing happened. The people were conquered by the Assyrians. Their leaders were sent to the four corners of the world. They were shattered. Their worship, their nation, everything obliterated in an instant. And now the word from the prophet is hope. Isaiah's job was to help the people who had endured the worst to reorient themselves, to see light in the darkness. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, right? Our wonderful Christmas scriptures. That is our task too, because I don't know about you, but the world still looks pretty dark. We haven't figured it all out. There's still conflicts, terrible suffering in Ukraine, in Israel, in Gaza, throughout the world, terrible problems everywhere. And we think, where is God in this? What do we do when the worst happens? And so many in our congregation struggling with personal issues of all kinds. The death of a spouse, a terrible diagnosis of cancer, terrible suffering from addiction, broken relationships in families, a lot of us as individuals, sometimes suffering quietly, are going through the worst. And how can we reorient ourselves to a new vision of hope? That's what our scriptures teach us. So there was John the Baptist, that crazy man on the banks of the Jordan, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, a royal herald in the weirdest possible way. You know, the Caesar had his armies and his generals and his official proclaimers proclaiming the good news. Who did Jesus have? Some wacko in camel's hair clothing, eating locusts and wild honey. And yet, there was something about John, wasn't there? In our gospel today, did you see people from the whole Judean countryside were flocking to this crazy man? People from all of Jerusalem, the sophisticated city dwellers, coming out to the middle of nowhere to listen to this crazy man because they knew that their lives were not the way they should be. They knew deep down that something was amiss. They were looking for a word of hope, and John somehow gave it to them. One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Shift your attention from this illusion that you control your lives. Let go and look for the coming of God's salvation into your life. Yes, the worst has happened. The Romans have their boot on your head. You know, you're being crushed by this terrible time, but good news is here. It's coming. God's salvation is around the corner. Even our epistle today, 2 Peter, which is the very end of the New Testament, right? St. Paul, at the beginning of the New Testament, is telling people, hey, Jesus is coming right away. Don't get married. Don't buy any property. Don't even tie your shoes because Jesus is going to be here right away. Before this generation passes away, it's all going to be wrapped up. Don't worry. And then these Christians kept waiting, and they watched that whole generation pass away. And they were like, "Where? The worst thing happened. Jesus didn't come back. What are we going to do?" And into this moment of darkness, Peter writes these words: "Do not think of this time as punishment. Rather, God's patience is good news because it gives you the opportunity to repent and see life in a new way, to practice loving kindness to your neighbors, to become the people that God desires you to be. Hope, a new vision in a time of darkness for Isaiah, for John the Baptist, for Peter, and God willing, for us. How can we hold on to that vision of hope in the midst of darkness? Where does that resilience come? It comes from the openness to seeing what God is doing in this moment. Because when the worst happens, something interesting also happens. I'm sure you've been through this in one way or another in your life. When the thing you've been dreading happens, suddenly life gets a lot clearer, doesn't it? Suddenly, when you experience a death or a loss or a loss of a job or a terrible diagnosis, all the stuff that you were worried about Tuesday doesn't matter at all. Who cares about all that stuff I was so wrapped up in, about getting those reports out on time or getting my Christmas cards done? You know, we all have our list, and it makes us very anxious sometimes, but suddenly in that moment of crisis, everything is clear. All that matters is love, the love of our family and our friends, those relationships that are transforming. In that moment, suddenly we don't care about the reports. We don't care about the Christmas cards. We just care about experiencing a moment of loving relationship with God and with each other. That's all that matters. I was so impressed visiting one of our parishioners in the hospital this week with a new diagnosis of cancer, and she said, "I know that everything is in God's hands." Suddenly, in that moment of weakness, of illness, of fear, she had this amazing clarity of faith. I and this whole situation are in God's hands. That's what Isaiah is trying to tell the people of Israel. That's what John is telling the throngs on the banks of the Jordan. That's what Peter is telling those early Christians. And that's what they're telling us today as well. Because the worst is going to happen to each one of us in one way or another. I love this saying that in the end, life is just you and me walking each other home. It's just you and me walking each other home. The worst is going to happen, but we have each other and all of us held firmly in the hands of God. And that, my friends, is truly all we need. Amen.